encourage you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock for our service. And kind of knowing that my voice would be weak and keep getting weaker and weaker throughout the day here, I actually have decided to show you a preaching video, but I think it's something you'll really enjoy. Some of you have heard Brother David Gibbs preach before, and he's a powerful preacher. And I'm going to show you maybe about a 35-minute message he preached called Be of Good Cheer, and it'll be an encouraging message. I'll show that tonight. And also going to show a couple short videos from our missionaries. I've got a video update from the Rays, something this month, and some important prayer requests from them. I'm going to show that tonight. That's a few minutes. And then I'm going to show maybe a short video update from the Navarros. We were here last week and preached, but they prepared a video about their ministry in Trinidad and an update. And we're gonna watch that tonight as well. I encourage you to join us tonight, 6 o'clock, for our service. Let's look this morning to the book of. We'll begin in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll look there to verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word, and especially as you see these verses, you'll see how fitting that is. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's read again verse 11, and can you read it together with me? Hopefully you have the King James Bible and we can read in unison. Let's read verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then let's read verse 13 together. Verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Good, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time we can come and study your word. We ask you to speak to our hearts and challenge us this morning. Father, please help us to be encouraged to stand. And Lord, we know there's a battle. We know that it's a war even. And help us to stand faithfully in that battle and in that war. Help us to put on the whole armor of God as you challenge us to, so that we can stand against the wicked one. Bless this time, I pray. Father, help me to say what you want me to say this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Satan is a very real enemy, isn't he? Very real enemy. Let me grab my water. I'm sorry, Aaron. If I sound funny, it's because I got a fisherman's friend in my cheek here, and I'll be sipping some water from time to time. I know I don't sound good, but you be patient with me, and I'll be patient with you. Amen. Satan is a very real enemy. We're admonished in these verses that we read, that we're admonished to stand. We're admonished to stand. The Bible tells us to beware. Look with me at a couple of references. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. And from there we're going to go over to 1 Peter 5. If you can hold the finger perhaps in all these places, and we'll be turning back and forth. 2 Peter 2 first and then 1 Peter 5. We're told to stand. We're told to beware. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." What are his devices? We're going to maybe talk about some of those this morning. He has his devices. He's always on the prowl. He's always trying to deceive. we're warned about the fiery darts of the wicked one, and we need to watch out for him because he's not out for our benefit. He's not out to help us. He's out to destroy. And we're to beware. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says there, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," an adversary is an opponent, an adversary is an enemy. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That lion would like to tear a piece out of you. That lion would like to devour you. He'd like to swallow you. And that doesn't sound so nice, but he's a real enemy. And we're to stand and be ready for that battle, be ready for that war, be ready for that opponent, that enemy, the devil, who is seeking to destroy. I want to ask this question this morning, and we'll look at a few answers from the Bible. How is it that Satan's our enemy? In what ways does Satan tempt us to do evil? How is it that Satan's our adversary? How is it that Satan's our enemy? How is it that he opposes us? Let's look at that first this morning. Number one, Satan tempts us to sin. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, that's still in the New Testament. You'll get to learn the books of the Bible this morning. We turn from place to place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Here the Bible says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Paul, speaking to them and speaking to the church and speaking to those Christians, warns them about the tempter. He warns them about Satan, who would come to try to tempt them and try to turn them aside, tempt them to sin, tempt them to turn from God. And he says, "Lest our labor be in vain. We've labored amongst you to try to build you up in the faith. But the tempter is going to come, and he can tempt you to sin and tempt you to do wrong and tempt you to evil to the point that it can destroy your life." And we're to beware of Satan because he seeks to tempt us. He wants us to yield to our sinful nature. You know, in Romans chapter 8, Paul talked about the battle that takes place, right? Between the spiritual nature and the flesh nature, and the mid part of Romans there. And many verses. And Paul himself knew there's a real battle that wages in our life, rages between our flesh nature and our spiritual nature after we get saved. And Paul was constantly doing things to try to encourage people to crucify their flesh and to walk in the Spirit and to try to live the kind of life that God would want them to. But Satan knows that the tempter is trying to do the opposite. The tempter is trying to get them to give in to their sinful flesh nature. The tempter will try to get them to sin and try to get them to do wrong. And he warns them about that. Satan is tempting us. He wants us to yield to our sinful flesh nature. He wants our flesh to follow after the world rather than following after God. Truth is, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose to walk in the Spirit and follow after the Spirit, or we can follow after the world. Our sin nature is prone to just follow after the world. That's our nature. But we're encouraged to follow after God. Satan, meanwhile, will tempt us to sin. Tempt us to sin. Number two, Satan tries to deceive us. Number two, Satan tries to deceive us. Look back to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. The Bible says there, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." We know from the story in the book of Isaiah, when Lucifer tried to exalt himself against God, he was cast out. He was cast out of the presence of God. And he's been working his wily ways on the earth ever since. He was cast out into the world, and he is now the prince of this world, and he's been working in this world to deceive the world and to deceive the hearts and minds of people. When Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, what did he try to do? He came to try to deceive her. And there in the Garden of Eden, he tried to make her question God's words. Tried to deceive her, make her question God. He tried to make her also even question that God really wanted what's best for her. Remember how he very subtly and deceptively said, "Oh, God just doesn't want you to eat the fruit of that tree, or because he knows that you'll become as gods then. He just doesn't want you to be like him." And he was trying to deceive her. Tried to make her think, well, God just doesn't want what's best for you. He's keeping something from you. He's withholding what's best from you. But that wasn't true. That wasn't true at all. Satan was trying to deceive her. Satan tried to make her question that God wanted what was best for her. Satan tried to make her question God's words. And Satan is still trying to deceive people in those same ways today. You know what? He wants you to question God's words. Oh, does God really want what's best for me? He wants you, did God really say that? Is that really true? Is that really the Word of God? It's amazing how sometimes in Christianity people can want to accept, well, oh, I'll accept that part of the story. I'll accept that part of the book. That sounds good, and that sounds good for me, and I want that kind of life. But some of the things that God's Word says to us, they may be hard things for us. Hard things for us to hear, hard things for us to accept. And Satan will come along and say, you don't need to believe that. You don't need to follow that. Maybe God didn't even say that. Did God say that? Is that what God said? He may try to play games with you in your mind and try to deceive you. Try to make you question God. Try to make you doubt God. Try to make you question God's Word. Satan tries to deceive us. So I said this, number one, Satan tries to tempt us to sin. He tries to tempt us to sin. Number two, Satan tries to deceive us. He tries to deceive us. And number three, Satan tries to hinder us from serving the Lord. Satan tries to hinder us from serving the Lord. Look with me back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan hindered us. Paul was being hindered in a very real way by Satan from doing what he wanted to do in the work of the Lord. Turn with me over to Galatians. Be back a few pages more to the left. You'll find Galatians there, Ephesians and so on. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5. You can think, well, it's just the Apostle Paul. I mean, surely the great Apostle Paul, and he was on his missionary journeys and doing a great work. Sure, Satan would try to hinder him. Well, no, he tries to hinder every one of us. He doesn't want any one of us to serve the Lord. He doesn't want any one of us to do the will of God or do the work of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul says this to a group of Christians. He says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Ye did. You're running your Christian race, and you were running well, but who hindered you? Who hindered you? I understand that Satan even can sometimes use people to be a hindrance to us in our Christian life, but Satan is the one truly, most of all, who's trying to hinder us. And he can be behind it sometimes if others are a hindrance or a discouragement to us. Satan is always trying to discourage us. Satan doesn't want you to serve the Lord. Satan wants you to be preoccupied with other things, that you're too busy to serve the Lord. Satan will do anything he can to hinder believers from living for God and doing what God wants them to do. He tries to discourage us. He tries to stop Christians from serving the Lord. You know what? If you've already been saved, that's a wonderful thing. We talked about this morning, you have a salvation that is very secure. You're in the grip of God. You're kept by the power of God. That salvation is secure. And if you're saved, Satan knows he's already lost you. You are no longer a child of darkness. You're a child of light. And you are on your way to heaven. But even still, Satan would love to hinder you from doing the work of God, because he wouldn't want your life to be used to take anybody else to heaven with you. Satan wants you to become a life where you become unproductive and unfruitful in your Christian life. He doesn't want those things. Hey, if you have a fruitful and spiritual Christian life, you're going to be a wonderful testimony and a wonderful light to people around you. If you become a fruitful Christian and have a passion and a concern for the lost souls around you, the devil doesn't like that. Because he doesn't want you to help take others with you to heaven. He doesn't want them. So you know what? Satan will try to hinder you. Satan will try to hinder you. He'll try to get you sidetracked. He'll try to get you off course. He'll try to keep you from being used of the Lord. So number three, Satan tries to hinder us. Number one, we said Satan tempts us to sin. Number two, Satan tries to deceive us. Number three, Satan tries to hinder us from serving the Lord. And then number four, Satan will try to get you to forsake the truth. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Satan will try to get you to forsake the truth. Here the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Satan, very sadly, he's winning in that battle to try to get people to depart from the faith. Young people and even some old people are departing from the faith. And I tell you something, Christians need to be faithful to the Lord. Christians need to be faithful to a Bible-believing church. Christians need to be faithful to read and study the Word of God. We're challenged in the book of Jude to earnestly contend for the faith. It talks about the faith there in the book of Jude. We're to earnestly contend for the faith, earnestly contend even for the doctrine that was once delivered unto the saints. People don't know the Word of God as well as they should. And because of that, people are forsaking the truth all the time. Listen, if a person gets to know God and gets to know God's Word and they develop a passionate relationship with this book and with their Savior, we wouldn't turn from Christ like we do. There's too many Christians that are just forsaking God and giving up the Christian life, and they're forsaking even true doctrine. Why? Because we don't know God as well as we should. We don't know the Word of God as well as we should. Many times people are deceived by error, deceived by false doctrine. And people are forsaking the truth. Satan likes that. Satan likes that. Satan doesn't want people to know the Word of God because he wants Christians to be weak in their Christianity. He wants them to be happy and content to live for ourselves. Listen, if we know God and we get a glimpse of God the way He wants us to see Him, we won't ever want to live for ourselves. We won't. We need to get to know God. Satan doesn't want us to know Him because he wants people to forsake. He wants people to depart from the faith. In John 8:32, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You get to know Jesus Christ, who is the truth. It will make you free. You get to know the Word of God. It will set you free. When people have their hearts and minds filled with the Word of God, can I tell you something? It will change their life. If we get to know God, and we get to know God's Word like He wants, it changes things. It changes things in our life. It'll change things in our heart and our attitude and so much. People experiencing victory over sin. That only comes when people truly know God and know the truth. Christians with a concern for lost souls is when people get to know the truth. Families that are strong and blessed of God is when people come to know the truth. Children that honor and obey their parents, that's when people come to know the truth. Know the truth. These things and so many more things are had in abundance in the lives of believers who are loving the Word of God. But Satan is doing all that he can do to try to minimize the truth. Say, you know what? God wants this book to be magnified in the life of every believer. But you know what Satan wants? Satan wants this book to be minimized in the life of every believer. Oh, it's not so important. You don't really need to know what the Word of God says. And we can carry it with us to church once a week on a Sunday. But then we set it aside for all week long. That's what Satan wants. He'd love for us just to set it aside. Just ignore it. Hey, that's not what God wants at all. God wants you to know the Word of God and love this book and read it, study it, and meditate on it and prove it and prove what the preacher says and prove the Word of God in your life and prove God true in your life. Get to know the Word of God. Study it. Maximize the truth. Maximize the Word of God in your life. Satan is doing what he can to minimize the truth and minimize the Word of God. Satan is winning when Christians are neglecting the Word of God and when people are departing from the faith. The spiritual apathy in the modern church. Sadly, the statistics for young adults, in North America who might grow up in Christian homes and then they go off to university or somewhat and they end up turning from the faith, and you'd ask them what people believe nowadays and they're departing from the faith. Surveys done even amongst all Christians of all ages for if they'd say what they believe about the Word of God or certain things or what they believe about creation or what they believe about certain things in the Scriptures. It's sadly, sadly awful. You know why it is? Because people don't know the Word of God like we should. It's been minimized. Satan's been winning that battle. He's deceiving people to forsake the truth and to depart from the faith. How is Satan our enemy? In what ways does he seek to tempt us to evil? Number one, Satan tempts us to sin. Number two, we said Satan tries to deceive us. Number three, Satan tries to hinder us from serving the Lord. And number four, Satan will try to get you to forsake the truth. He's trying to get people to depart from the faith. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are we to do? Well, Ephesians 6 told us we're to stand. We're to stand. We need believers to stand. We need preachers to stand and churches to stand. It's not a game. We need to stand ready for battle and stand ready for war. It's not a game. It's a battle. It's a battle. How can we stand against the devil? How can we stand ready for battle? Let me give you a few things quickly. Number one, remember who lives inside of you. Remember who lives inside of you. In 1 John 4:4 it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you've been saved, the Holy Spirit of God has come to live inside of you. He dwells. He lives inside your spirit. Satan is a powerful being. But God is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Number one, I want you to remember this. Remember who lives inside of you. We don't have to be defeated by the enemy. We don't have to be overcome by Satan. We've got God living inside of us. We've got God living inside of us. Number one, remember who lives inside of you. Number two, remember that Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. John 16:11 tells us that the prince of this world is judged. Is judged. His final condemnation has already been determined. He has been judged. Satan is on borrowed time. He's got a short time. Look with me at Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says here, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, or the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. Because he knows his time is short. Can I tell you something? The devil is working as hard as he can to deceive and destroy believers. He's working as hard as he can to blind the hearts and the minds of the lost. He knows he's got but a short time. And so he's busy. He's got a program going all the time, working as hard as he can to deceive and to blind and to ruin people. He wants to keep everybody he can from being God's children. And he wants to keep believers from serving God like they should. He knows he's got a short time. Satan is so serious about hindering Christians from serving the Lord. Don't you think we should get serious about serving the Lord? If the Bible tells us that that adversary, that opponent, he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, don't you think we better be ready for battle? This is more serious than I thought. It's not just a game. It's not just a fairy tale. Well, we believed a nice little story and we're on our way to a fairy tale place called heaven. No, it's real. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. And an enemy that is raging to destroy, wreck, and ruin. I remind you, though, that Satan is a defeated foe. Look with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We know the end of the story. We can read the end of the book, and we have a book that is such a living book that it tells us about the past, it tells us about the present, and even tells us about things future. It's a powerful book. And in Revelation 20 and verse number 1, Revelation 20 and verse 1, it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Look down to verse 10. And we see his final judgment coming. And the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Lake of fire was truly made for Satan. And that's his final judgment. That's his verdict. You might say he's been winning right now. He's not going to win in the end. He's a loser. He's the biggest loser of all. And you know what? He's always trying to drag people with him. He's trying to drag people to the losing side. Listen, let's stand ready for that battle. Satan knows what his final fate will be. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Remind him of his future. You know what? He sometimes can bring up your past. Oh, you remember what you did? God could never use you. You remind the devil of his future. The lake of fire is his final judgment. How can we stand against the devil? How can we stand ready for battle? Number one, remember who lives inside of you, and he's greater than Satan. Number two, remember that Satan is a defeated foe. Number three, remember to always be on guard. Always be on guard. Always be on guard. Proverbs 4 tells us that we're to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. We must be alert. We must be watching. We must be mindful. We must be sober. We need to be ready for the attack of Satan. And guard our heart. Satan wants our heart. He's after our hearts. He's after the hearts of our children. The world is after the hearts of young people. And we need to guard our heart and realize that Satan wants to steal our heart away. What does the Bible tell us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. But Satan is trying to steal your heart away. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Always be on guard. Always be on guard. How can we stand against the devil? How can we stand ready for battle? Number one, remember who lives inside of you. Number two, remember that Satan is a defeated foe. Number three, remember to always be on guard. And number four, remember to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God every day. Turn with me back to Ephesians 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, where we began. And let's look at these verses again a bit closer and read it down a bit further. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why do you think it's so important why we persevere in prayer for all the saints? Because we're in a battle. Because we're in a war. Because the enemy's real. Because the adversary wants our young people. Because the adversary wants our marriages. Because the adversary wants our homes. Because the adversary wants you. The adversary wants to keep you from being the Christian, the joyful Christian, and the fruitful Christian that God longs for you to be. Oh, we need to pray for one another. Pray for one another, but we also need to put on the armor of God. Put it on. And when do you think we should put the armor of God on? Every morning. Every morning, put on the armor of God before we face the day, before we head out into battle. Why? Because in that battle, Satan's going to come to try to tempt you. Satan's going to try to come to deceive you. Satan's going to come to try to discourage you. Put on the armor in the morning. Put on the armor in the morning. It's important as Christians that we develop a habit of spending time with God in the morning. We need our loins girt about with truth. We need honesty in our lives. And not just to be honest and truthful in the words that we say, but I mean in every bit of our life. That our life is not a life of deceiving. Our life is honest. Honest before God and honest before men. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. God wants holy living. God wants holy living in our lives, and we need to put that on every morning. Shoes shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to have feet that are swift to go and spread the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus. We need the shield of faith. We need faith in God. Listen, the just shall live by what? Faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. As Christians, faith is vital, not just to your being saved and becoming a Christian, but in continuing to live the Christian life. Faith is at the center of it all. If we don't have faith, listen, God blesses people who live by faith. We're to walk in faith. We're to live by faith day after day. Trust upon the Lord. Rely upon Him. We need the shield of faith. We need the helmet of salvation. Of course, if a person is not first saved, how will they stand against the enemy? If you don't know for sure that you're saved, how can you stand against the enemy? Actually, if you don't know for sure, 100% for sure, that Jesus Christ is truly your Savior, then we don't got no hope against the enemy. We don't have any hope against Satan. You must be saved. You must be born again. Put on the helmet of salvation. We need the shield of faith. We need that thing, that the breastplate. We need the armor that's covering us and protecting our heart, that breastplate of righteousness. Loins girt about with truth and so on. We need the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit is compared to the Word of God. Listen, let's spend time in the Word of God. Let's read it. Christians need to read the book. Don't just set it aside. Pick it up. Pick up the sword. Pick up the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. We're to meditate on the Word of God. We're to memorize the Word of God. We're to hide God's Word in our heart. We need to put on the armor of God. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you're there in Ephesians, just back a few pages to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and look there at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The weapons of our warfare. Hey, that armor of God, it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan is always in a battle with people. He's trying to win a battle. He battles in our mind. Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought," bringing into captivity every one of your thoughts to the obedience of Christ. If you're going to win that battle where Satan wages a battle in your mind, he wages a battle to deceive you, he wages a battle to tempt you, he wages a battle to try to get you to question God or doubt God or not trust God or not follow God in your life. Boy, you better fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. We are so weak when we are not filled with the Word of God. But when we put on the armor, we're strong. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we can stand. I can become weak. You can become weak. Everyone. You can look to people and you know, sadly we can look at people who were strong Christians and strong people, but when something happened, maybe something that was hidden and unseen and the Word of God was being neglected in their life, they became very weak. That when Satan brought temptation or Satan tried to deceive them, they were deceived. It's not a game, it's a war. Satan battles to corrupt our minds through the world. He battles to corrupt our minds through television. He battles to corrupt our minds through the internet. He battles to corrupt the minds of people through rock music. So many ways Satan is trying to get our minds and get our hearts and trying to deceive. Satan wants us to walk after our sinful flesh nature rather than to walk after the Spirit. What are we to do? Put on the armor of God. Every morning, put it on. Put it on, because in our weakness, do you think we're going to overcome our flesh? With our flesh? No. You know what our flesh is going to want to do? What our sinful, carnal flesh nature wants to do. The only way to overcome is to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Fill your heart, fill your mind with the Word of God. And as you do that, we do have the strength to make those choices where we yield to the Spirit instead of yielding to that sinful flesh nature. We've got to feed the spiritual nature. That's what it's about. Some of you have been in church long enough, or maybe you've seen illustrations given of it depends on which nature you feed. That's the nature that will become stronger. Feed the spiritual nature. Feed your heart and mind. Feed it with the Word of God. Feed it much so you can be strong to overcome. Remember to put on the whole armor of God every day, every morning. How can we stand against the devil? How can we stand ready for battle number one? Remember who lives inside of you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Number two, remember that Satan is a defeated foe. Don't think he's so mighty he can overcome me. Hey, in the end, he's going to the lake of fire and you're going to heaven. You're on the winning side. He does not have to defeat us. Number three, remember to always be on guard. Why should we always be on guard? Because he's always going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's no game. It's not a joke. It's real. The enemy is real. We need to be on guard. Watch our heart. Guard our heart. Number four, remember to put on the armor of God every day, every morning. Number five, last, remember to never retreat. Always resist. Remember to never retreat. Always resist. We're not to retreat. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to remember, when we describe that armor of God, we've got the helmet of salvation to guard our temple and so on, guard our mind. We've got the shield of faith that we hold up in front. We've got the sword of the Spirit to battle with the enemy as we look upon him. We've got on the breastplate of righteousness to guard our heart and so on. We've got our feet shod with the gospel, the preparation of peace. We've got all this armor to protect the front of a Christian. But if we turn around and run, we have no armor protecting the back. You know that an arrow can strike through into the heart through the back just as well as it can from the front. And if we don't have all this armor protection on the back, you know what? That tells us something. We're not to be retreating. We're not to turn and run away. We're to stand up to the devil. We're to stand up to the enemy. We're to stand up for God. We're to live for Him. Don't retreat. Always resist. 1 Peter there, chapter 5. Again, beginning verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast. Resist steadfast in the faith. We're to resist. Resist, not retreat. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter 4. Just two or three pages to your left, probably. You'll find James chapter 4. And I want you to look there at verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Sometimes people can quote James 4, 7, but it's really unfair to quote it without also quoting verse number 8. They both go together. You kids, because you can't do verse 7 on your own. You can't do verse 7 in your own strength. Verse 8 is important to verse 7. Very important. In James here, chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible tells us this. He tells us three things that we're supposed to do. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. The devil will flee from you. But verse 8 also, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, putting on that breastplate of righteousness, that holy life that God wants you to live. Hey, don't think, well, I can sort of live an unholy life, and I'll have great victory in my life. That just doesn't make sense. We think, well, I have a Christian life and I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven, but I can live in unholiness and I can live with sinful things and I'm strong enough. I know how much I can handle in my life. Sometimes we're just absolutely lunatic in our thinking. Like as if it's okay and acceptable for us to, well, I can handle this much sin in my life and it's all forgiven anyways. I can handle this and know that I'm not going to step too far. No, God doesn't want any sin in our lives, to be honest. We are not going to be perfectly sinless, but God wants us to overcome all sin in our lives. He wants us to overcome. He doesn't want us to think, well, I'm okay with just a little bit. No, He wants us to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and live a holy life. Don't think that we can live in sin, but yet I'll be strong enough that when Satan tempts me with something greater, I'll be able to overcome it. It's like you get some person with, you know, one of their favorite things. Maybe they like a certain kind of chip. You get a certain kind of bag of chips or something that you just love. You know what? There's certain things in there to addict you that you can't just take one chip. You got to take another one and another one and another one. Well, let me tell you something. The devil will make you want to take another one. My wife's chocolate chip cookies or her chocolate with butterscotch cookies or basically any kind of cookies, my woman, I can't just have one of those. It leads to another one and another one. And that's as far as we'll tell you. Hey, it just leads to another. We need to resist the devil, but we also need to draw an eye to God. Draw an eye to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And God's Word says He will flee from you. Why? Because the devil knows too that if you're saved, you've got God living inside of you. And so he is not greater. He can't win against you if you'll stand up to him. If you'll stand up and you'll walk in the Spirit of God, you've got him living inside of you. And you're walking in his Spirit and you've got his power in your life. And you're determined to be righteous. Hey, you can stand up against the devil and he will flee from you. Now he'll run away. But I need to tell you about something. He's going to come back again. He does that. He will come back. He may resist when you stood today. But you know what? He may check on you again tomorrow. Are they still standing today? Are they still standing the next day? Are they still standing next week? You're never going to quit having to battle with the enemy. He's going to keep on attacking and keep on coming back and keep on trying to take you down. We need to keep on standing. Keep on standing. Keep on standing. Submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. You can win. You can overcome. We can be victorious through the Lord. We are to never retreat. Always resist. Never retreat. Always resist. Remember who lives inside of you, and he's greater than the devil. Remember that Satan is a defeated foe. Remember to always be on guard. Guard your heart. Remember to put on the whole armor of God every day, every morning. And then number 5, remember to never retreat. Always resist. Never retreat, always resist. We need to stand ready for battle. Stand ready for battle. You're going to have to do battle. My wife and I have sung a psalm before. Once again, I face Satan this morning. And sometimes we've joked and I've just maybe sung it at home. Once again, I face Satan this morning and I battled her all the day long instead of him. And we've joked with my wife. But no, let me tell you something. You're going to have to face battle against the enemy. You're going to battle the devil. He doesn't want you to be a victorious Christian. He doesn't want you to live a righteous life. He wants you to sin. He wants you to depart from the faith. He wants you to minimize the Word of God in your life. Well, you're going to have to determine, I better maximize it in my life. I better maximize the Word of God in my life. I better be faithful to church. I better read and study and meditate on the Word of God. Listen, if you're going to win over the enemy, this book needs to be so important to you. We can't win without it. We can't win unless we're going to walk in the Spirit. He's there. All that power is available there. But if we're walking after our flesh, then we can't win the battle with the flesh. We're going to have to walk after the Spirit. We're going to have to love and live in the Word of God. And through Him, with God's help, we can be victorious. We need to stand. Stand ready for battle. Let's pray together, Heavenly Father. I ask You please to help us, Lord, to win in this battle. Teach us to stand. To stand firm. Help us not to retreat. Help us not to turn back. Help us not to run, but help us to resist. Help us to stand up. Help us to be steadfast. Lord, help us to love this book. Help us to make it more important in our lives. May we be dedicated this morning, commit ourselves this morning to spend much time in the Word of God. Lord, as we're getting close to a new year, maybe there be some Christians who will be dedicated that I will read my Bible every day and every morning. It's okay to read your Bible at night. Sometimes I find it's very good and very helpful and brings a lot of peace to my heart at the end of the day and helps me go to sleep better thinking on good things and wake up better thinking on good things. But you know what? Every morning, you need to determine, I'm going to find time. I'm going to make time to spend with God. I'm going to make time for the Bible. I'm going to make time to read it. Meditate on it. And do things to hide God's Word in your heart. To memorize it. These are things that can help you be strong. Help you to put on the armor of God every morning. Christian, be determined. You're not going to retreat. You need to decide this morning to put on the armor of God. So you can stand strong against the enemy. What will you do with the Word of God? How faithful will you be to church? We need church too. Why? Because, again, the battle's so real and we need to get together and pray together for the saints, for believers. We need to be praying for one another and encouraging one another. We need to, again, be filling our mind with the truth and good doctrine and the Word of God. Why? Because too many people are departing from the faith. They're not sure what they believe in. They fall to so many things. If we're going to stand, we better know God's Word.